Hello, welcome to Mordigans with Niramas. This is a special podcast episode where I will not do a regular podcast. Instead, we're going to do the top 100 games of all time list. This is the 2021 edition, and this was live streamed on YouTube. So if you rather want to see it, because then you will also see the actual videos I made in the background of each game that I talk about, so you get to see a little bit how they look and so on, then you can find that on YouTube, of course, the Mordigans with Niramas. But if you enjoy if you enjoy listening to the list, you can do it right here. I will just tell you right now, there is a bit of like delay at some points. Maybe I'm, you know, pointing at something, maybe I'm waiting for something to load and so on. So I hope you will have some understanding for that in this voice, in this audio podcast format. I hope you'll enjoy it though. So here we go. Yeah, now let's get going with the top 100 list. So top 100 and number 100 here. It was 92 last year, so it hasn't moved around that much. Here it is. It is TradeGen, and I'm going to prepare these, but yeah, it is live, so we'll have to put up with a little bit of loading time there. So, TradeGen is a Stefan Feld game that has been on the list for a bunch of years, ever since I played it, really. TradeGen is a... Well, it's usually referred to as a point salad game. It's like one of these midweight Euros where you get points no matter what you do. The main fun part of TradeGen, what makes it good, is this, as you see here in the background, this little system where you move those tokens around. And if you have four tokens in one of those bowls, they're supposed to be bowls, then you have to move four spaces and you have to leave one token on each space you pass by. Whatever you land in, that's the action that you get to do. And there's six different actions in the game. And you also need to worry about how you drop these off, because you want to have the right color combinations in those bowls for later on to get some bonuses and so on. So it's a little puzzle. There's a lot of, tricky thing. You can sit around, if you want to, you could try to min-max this and sit around and really dive deep in your brain into how to move these, because you have to plan for like the next turn as well. So if I move these, then that may create a two over here, and then that means I can move two spaces and I can get to the action, but maybe I need to do another action. It's really fun, and I like the different parts of the game. There's a lot of interesting parts in it. I like the mechanic, as you sort of can see here behind me. I can't control this right now. As you can see there, depending on the number of players, you will use a different little track at the bottom, and then you will move a token depending on how many steps you move. So if I move 1, 2, 3 on my board, the little token will move 1, 2, 3. When it has circled a certain amount of times around that, that will trigger the end of the game. So the players also control sort of when the game end trigger, and they control when the end of the quarter, I think it is, or end of the year triggers. And when that happens, the people have demands. They might need, they want some gladiator games, or they want some religious rites or whatever, and then you need to satisfy that, otherwise you will lose points, which is also a fun thing in this game. I like that. And there's several of these from Stefan Feld where you have sort of a threat that you need to take care of, you need to prepare for, which is a fun game system as well. It is really brown, but it's, you know, it's not that brown in the middle of the board. It's mostly just on the edges. Andreas, you should try this. Now I don't have my copy anymore. I sold a lot of my games, but it is a really good one. All right, so that is number 100. Now let's move on to 99. I will try to keep up with chat as well. So, you know, tell me what you think about my picks and all that. This is a new one from this year, and I need to mute myself. There we go. So this is a Red Rising from Stonemaier Games. This, yeah, we're going to have to put up with that little loading thing time every time, I think, when you prepare like this. Anyway, Red Rising, I was conflicted about putting this on the list at first and so on. But I also, because I did this, you know, I compared back and forth with the games. And, you know, it's 99. I don't think this will be on the list. Like, I don't think it will climb. I think this is where it should be. It's just around that 100 mark, because the things I really like about this game, and there's a few things that I think are first of all, I like to play solo a lot, right? It's solo in this game, I think it's okay. I think it's as best. I played it on 3, and I think I played it on 4, and I think that's when it's best, because on 2, I tried this on 2, I did a video with Draco and everything. I did a solo playthrough as well. I think, I don't know which one, this is the one with Draco, obviously, since he's the green little guy over the side. On two, the cards are not cycling as much as I would like to. I would like some extra rule in there, or some kind of automa system or whatever, because I feel like the cards that are available out there, because you will place a card and you will take a card, they get kind of stagnant. So you get like, you place a card, take a card, and you can get your own card back and play it again. And solo was okay. It was fine, fun for a while. But I think it shines the most with more players. Then this game is also one of those, like the first time you play it, it's a bit rough. Like, there's so many different cards and they all have different effects. It's hard to, it's going to take a little while before you get into it. But that's the case, I guess, with a lot of card games, I would say, where you, as you get better, as you start recognizing cards and you're like, oh, I know, it makes the flow more. Like, I felt I got stuck a little bit. Because the thing is, the fun, cool, grinding mechanic in this game is that you might have a card that gives you good points at the end of the game, but it also has a good effect. So in order to get that effect, you have to play it, but then you don't have it anymore. You might be able to pick it up later, but someone else might take it from you, or it might get banished. It's interesting. I really like this card system in this game. That is true, Mikael is saying. It's hard. With many players, it's hard for everyone to read what all the cards are doing. Yeah, that's true. You need to play it a few times to, like, get into it more. Oh, Andreas thought this would be higher. Okay. No, there's so many good games. I must say, I mean, I've been doing these top 100. I think it's the third year now. I did top 50 before that. And it was really tough there on some games. Like, some games that are not on the list now, was games that I felt like they are really good. Like, I got them to that point where I probably could do 200 games that I really like, right? All right, then, yeah, and this is new on the list. Obviously, it came out this year, so I will mention for all games where they were the last time, because I think that's fun facts. Next up here is a game that's going to be a
cat. Then we can add this.
Why didn't I mute myself before I started streaming? Okay. I'm a noob. Anyway, number 98 is new as well. This is Star Wars Unlock, but this is a catch them all, basically, because it's this unlock. It's just that Star Wars Unlock is the one I have on camera here. I played another one as well, but I really like the system. Like, I'm not a huge fan, I guess. Well, I like escape rooms, and I like puzzles in games. I like tricky brain puzzle. I'm not that good at them, though. That's a whole different avenue right there. So, and this is on time. So, and I tried to, you know, when I filmed this, I streamed this, it was on time, and I tried to do it and understand how everything worked. It was rough. But, you know, sitting around just playing this solo, which I have been doing, I do enjoy it a lot. And I think it's really thematic and cool. It uses the app for the phone in the Star Wars here. It's like, well, just a few examples without spoiling too much. Like, you might find a droid in the snow, but the droid is covered in snow, so you need to shake your phone in order to see what's the number on the droid is. I think that's really cool. Those, how you can use, I'm a big fan of using digital apps and digital implementations into board games, as long as you keep it still, you know, a board game, but you have the app or the digital implementation to help you out in order to make the game better, which I think the Unlock games do. And you can also replay these ones. It's not like the Exit games. Exit is not on my top 100 because those you sort of, I mean, you destroy basically the game as you play. I think Exit's pretty fun as well. I played two different ones, but I'm way more interested in playing more of Unlock, actually. And I would like to play this with friends as well and see if we can work things out together. That's why I only played it solo so far, so. Alright, that was 98, and that was new on the list. Now I will remember to mute myself if I didn't. Yeah, I didn't. Okay, so here we go with 97, which is also new on the list. This is a small game here, Blitzkrieg. It's claims on the box, it claims to be World War II in 20 minutes, which it's, it actually is a 20-minute game, and I don't know if it's World War II, but it's World War II themed, and it sort of feels like a World War II combat game, where it's more like a tug of war. This is a two-player game only. You know, like I'm playing here with Martin. One side is the Americans, the Allies, and one side is the Germans. You're placing these little tokens. You have these tokens hidden behind your screen, so the other player doesn't know what you have at the ready. You have, it's also a bit of a bag builder, because you will add tokens into your bag and then you will draw tokens from the bag and then you can play them. So you get better as the game keeps going. At the same time, you're playing one of some of your good ones out and they get stuck out on the map, so then you don't have them anymore. You have like ground units and you have sea units, and then you have airplanes, which are wildcards. And some, as you can see on the board there, some spaces, like the brown spaces, you can only play land units or airplanes. On the blue spaces, you can only play ships and so on. As you place a tile, it's very simple. As you place the tile, it has a number on it, a value. That's how many spaces the token will move towards your side. It's a tug of war. You're trying to get it over to your side in order to score points when these rows have been filled. Really fun game. It's so much fun, this little, you know, war-style game. And here we zoom in as well, obviously. Yeah, I really enjoy this a lot. And there is a new one that was released at Essen Spiel. It's called Caesar, I think, with like an exclamation mark. I think it's called Caesar. And that is, claims to be the Roman Empire in 20 minutes. Also a two-player game, but it has more area control. You place like units on a map of Italy or Europe. And I'm really curious to play that one. And they are sending me a copy. I know that it's coming here in the next few weeks. So I will be doing a playthrough with Draco with that one. So I look forward to that, because this one really impressed me. It's one of those games that at first when I looked at it, you know, it came out 2019 at Spiel, and then it came out like in broad retail in 2020. I wasn't really that. I was like, yeah, sure, let's play it. You know, Martin picked it up and I was like, yeah, we can try it. And then I fell in love with it. Such a cool game. All right, so that's 97 Blitzkrieg. And now we move on here to a Alexander Pfister game called Maracaibo. So Maracaibo is my 96. And this is also new on the list. There's a lot of new on the list here in this first segment, just as it ended up. I don't know why that's the case. But Maracaibo is cool. Maracaibo is, though, this is the opposite of what I said about Red Rising. So Maracaibo, I don't want to play with four people. I played it on three. And that was like the first time we played, I guess. So that's why it was slow. But it was really slow and a lot of downtime. I like this one solo. I think it's really nice solo. There's also a solo campaign. This game has something really cool. It's a Euro game, and it's like a Rondell Euro game. You move around, you do actions, and so on. And you play cards, and the cards are really cool because they're like multi-use. You can use them as a resource. You can use them for the effect, and so on. But what's really cool about this game is this is a way where Alexander Pfister started, like, mixing in. Well, he's been doing it a little bit before, I think, with one of the Puerto Rico expansions. But it's like mixing in story or legacy elements, like a campaign element, into the Euro mechanic. So in the campaign mode, which is what I played solo, you sort of, the map will develop, but there's no stickers, there's no ripping up of cards, there's not legacy in that aspect, but you have tiles that you place on the map, so that will change up the map. Some of these ports or some of these shipping lanes will change, there might be pirates showing up and so on. Really cool. I really enjoy this solo mode, and it was just an expansion released that just yesterday. Mats put a unboxing on the channel here where he's unboxing the expansion for this. So that was just released at Spiel as well. So that adds a new campaign also. I would like to try that. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting things in this game. Especially, I think the card system is where it shines the most. Just that, I love hand management. Just that, like, I have this card. I need wood, but I could use this card as a piece of wood. But if I do, then I don't have the card, so I can use it for the effect of the card later on. And yeah, I could be talking about this game for like 30 minutes because there's a lot of interesting mechanics in it, but I don't want to get stuck too long on this one. But Maracaibo, I can really recommend. It's not my favorite Pfister, but it's really good. All right, so Maracaibo was 96. So let's move on. I'll try to keep a little bit of tempo here since there's 25 games to talk about. Next up is an old classic. So this is, previous year it was 31, Agricola. So Agricola from Uwe Rosenberg. This one has been in my top 10 back, like, I don't know, 4 years ago or 5 years ago. I really enjoyed Agricola. Well, I still do. I mean, it's still on the top 100 list. And that's the thing, all the games on here is games that I like, you know. But it has fallen down. It has fallen down because it feels a little bit bland at this stage for me. compared to the excitement I had for it a few years ago. There's a few sort of strategies, or there's a few things you need to do in Agricola. It's a worker placement game. You build up your farm. I love the theme of it. You build up your little farm, and you can have animals. You can have, they're going to breed. You're collecting stone and wood. You can build on your house. And especially with the expansion here, the Farmers of the Moor, I really think you should have the expansion for this one. That adds a lot. But yeah, so here you can see the little board, and you're building up your little fields, and you can plant, you know, sow in them, and then the, you get more plants growing, and so on. But it, there's, I don't know, there's variation in the game, because you also have a deck of cards, and you draw a card from that, so you have like different cards every time you play, and that's the strategy for the game. You're looking at your hand. At the start of the game, you're like, oh, I could do this one together with this one. And you can also draft at the beginning, which I do recommend as well. You're trying to find synergies between those cards, which is something I enjoy a lot in a lot of card games and board games. You know, hand management, deck building, all that, where you're finding synergies between cards. That's one of my favorite parts of a game. And that's fun. But what you do on the board, where you go with worker placement, it feels a little bit constricted. You always, basically, in this game, you need to expand your family, whatever it's called, family growth. You always need to get babies to get more workers, because you need more workers to get more actions before the game ends. There might be strategies where you don't do that, but yeah. And then there's the whole, this game is mostly famous for the whole feed your people thing, right? You need to feed your people, otherwise you have to go begging for food. And if you do, then, you know, it's going to cost you points, or it's going to be minus points at the end of the game. I mean, that's like the first step. When you start playing this game, I always recommend new players to just try to just feed everyone. That's your goal. When you get past that, then you start trying to get more points and so on. Andreas is saying here that it's on BGA. I haven't tried it on BGA. That's interesting. I did play the digital version a bunch, though, when it came out, like 2 years ago or something, or 1 year, I don't know. I played that one a bunch against the AI and so on. I played it against friends as well. Me and Martin played a lot of two-player games over the on Steam for a while there, and yeah, that's good. Even though this is one of those games I really prefer the physical version. I mean, the tactile feeling of all those little tokens and all that, that goes for all board games, I guess, but this one, for me, I guess it's because I played this so much before the digital version showed up. But I will try it on BGA. I haven't done that. That's true, the base game is not that interesting. You want the Farmers of the Moor, because then you have to heat your house as well, and you also add these like action cards. Instead of doing a worker placement action, you can instead pick up one of those cards and do the action on the card, which adds an interesting dynamic of, it's not just back and forth on the board, it's also like, I really want to take that card, but I also really want to go to that spot, which am I doing first? So they add some really interesting decisions to the game. So yeah, Agricola is a good game. It's still on the top 100. We'll see next year if it's still going to be here. It did do a huge drop here from 31 to 95, but I must question myself and say, why was it 31 last year? That sounds a bit high, to be honest, if I'm going to criticize myself. I don't know why I had it that high. I think it was mostly nostalgic reasons. And you're going to see, if you've been following these top 100 lists over the years, you're going to see that a bunch of games have fallen a lot or got rid of the list, because I think my taste also had changed a little bit. Worker placement with gathering resources, turning the resources into points. I'm not that excited about that anymore. So anyway, this is Agricola. It is a solid game. It's a good game. If you haven't played it, you should really try it out. So that is number 95. 94 is another worker placement game that also has fallen. I haven't made a video for this, but I did make a video of the digital version. So here it is, Raiders of the North Sea, which is, it has a, you know, it's Vikings. I do like that. I like the Viking theme here. The digital implementation is really good. It's really good. I mean, it's very solid with like music, and I mean, it just looks great and it feels great and everything. So the interesting twist here to worker placement is that you only have one worker ever. So when you place the worker, you pick up another worker, and the worker you place, you get to do the action where you put it, but you also get to do the action of the worker that you pick up, whatever you pick it up from. And that's a very cool twist to worker placement. I really like it in this game. And it really adds a lot to, because there's like three different types of workers as well. So to get the better workers, you need to go out pillaging. But maybe you go out pillaging, you get one of those good workers, you use the worker, and then you pick something else up. Then it's my turn. I can pick up your worker that was really good, because we don't own the workers. We just use them temporarily. There's a lot, adds a lot of interesting decisions and strategy to the game that games like Agricola or the classic worker placement games don't have. So that's an interesting addition. Now, this is part of a three-game series, of course, with, what is it, Explorers of the North Sea and Ship Crafters, Ship Makers, Ship, whatever, of the North Sea. But this is my favorite. I played the other ones and wasn't really that impressed. Also, another series that, I mean, this is my favorite game from, what is it, Shem Phillips, right? Because I'm not a big fan of the next series with the Architects of West Kingdom and the Paladins of West Kingdom. Those are not on my top 100. The Paladins of West Kingdom is in my top 200, though. That game was pretty good. I would like to play that again, I guess. So, yeah, this Raiders was number 60 last year. So it's fallen from 60 down to 94. And again, that's mainly because this kind of games, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm not that excited about them anymore. Maybe I play them too much. I don't know. Let's move on. So, next up we have a game. I need to mute. Come on. I need to learn this. So, this is a game I want to play a lot more. I haven't played it that much, but I want to play it a lot more. Arkham Horror, the card game. This game, when I played it with Keith, by the way, Keith is teaching it to Draco and I here. This is way back in my kitchen when we did videos. That was like 3 years ago or something. I played it with Keith there, and I must say, at that time, I was more into the Euro board game, midweight worker placement style, which I might have, you know, dropped a little bit of. But on the other hand, this kind of game has gone up for me. These days, I love this kind of games with, like, you know, card play, thematic, you build the deck, you build your bag, your campaign style. So I need to play this game again. I think I would like it even more. I mean, I liked it back then. It's been on the top 100 all these years since I played it. But I think it would rise for me on the top 100. I think this has potential to go up on the top 100 if I play it more. And I really want to. I am considering at some point just picking up at least the starter box. I don't know. These like LCGs from FFG. I don't know if you even can get this one right now. They tend to be in like a cycle, releasing expansions and so on. I mean, now they're doing Marvel Champions and so on. I don't know if you can pick this up. I think so. And I think there's a bunch of expansions for this as well. And, you know, I love the look of this game. I love that it's like the campaign style, because you're like basically building a deck, and then that deck evolves as the game goes on, because you get new cards that you keep and so on. And you're also improving the bag. So instead of having die rolls, which you do have like in Mansions of Madness, in here you have a bag with tokens, so you draw a token from the bag to see the result of the enemy attack or whatever, and that bag, you can improve that bag, so you can remove negative tokens, you can add better tokens, kind of like another game called Gloomhaven. So really, really cool stuff in this one. Arkham Horror, the card game, I really need to play this again. And I have no interest in playing really the board game, because that's bloated, like, you know, takes forever. But the card game seems really cool to me to play more. So yeah, I'm going to aim to do that. I will also aim to get this on the channel in the future as well more. I mean, this is just a sort of how to play here while he's teaching us. This was part of a series called Draco Learns a Game that I had years ago. I never really continued the series. I'm not really sure why. The idea was that my friends came over to my house. They sat down and taught a game to Draco that me and Draco didn't know. And it was a fun concept, but then it's kind of hard to keep that up because, you know, people have to have time and all that to do that. So Arkham Horror the card game was 64, so it's gone down to 93, which makes it sound like I don't like it as much, but it's mostly I haven't played it at all in this year. I haven't played it in like 3 years, but when I started thinking about it, I feel like, wow, I should probably play this again, because this is one that I might appreciate more these days than I did back then. And yeah, the preparations were faulty. Anyway, here we have the next one. So number 92 was 34. It has dropped again. Worker placement game that has dropped a lot. The Voyages of Marco Polo. I know this is something that Andreas likes a lot, if he's still here. So The Voyages of Marco Polo. I haven't made a video for this. I don't know why, really. I mean, back in the days, I really enjoyed it. It's been high. You know, it's been 34 on my list. Maybe it was even higher. Maybe it was 20 or something 2 years ago. I'm not sure. Again, you know, it's in the top 100. It's not a bad game, you know. I remember that when I talk about games dropping. So this is a worker placement game with dice. So it's a, you know, dice placement game. It has some really interesting things as well. Depending on what number of die you place, it's going to, well, some places you need a higher value to place, but if you're placing on somewhere where someone already been, then if you place a high number, you also have to pay coins. So it's Andreas is offended. So it's interesting. Oh, Mats is here as well. Hey, Mats. Yeah, it's an interesting system with the die placement. And what we always talk about, I think I said this many times before when I talked about this game in top lists or whatever. I will say it again real quick here. It's really cool that you have asymmetrical powers, as every player has their own character that they're playing in the game. And depending on which character you have such a wide variety of different powers. So you could be the guy that can move more or, you know, pay less money and all that different effects. And all the effects feels really strong as well. So that's a very cool part of this game. I do like that a lot. I will also mention that I did play the follow-up, the Marco Polo 2, which is weird because that one is called Marco Polo 2. This is called The Voyagers of Marco Polo. Anyway, I played that with Mats and Andreas. I played it online. And I thought that one was actually more in my taste. But I only played it once online, so I didn't really want to put it on the list. But I'm putting it together here. I'm going to clump the two games together. So let's say that they both made it to number 92 here on my list. So that's The Voyagers of Marco Polo. And now let's move on to another game that has dropped a lot. It's also a... It's not a worker placement game, but it's sort of in the same style of games. So Saloon Tycoon. And this was... Yeah, I don't know what happened with last year's list. So this was 19 on last year's list, and I don't really understand why. I mean, it's a good game. It's 91. It's a good game. But I don't understand why I had it as number 19. That's really high. I think, though, that I played it just before I made that list. I think that's the reason why, maybe. It is a cool game. It has some really cool elements in here. So you're running, you're building a saloon. It's like a Western-themed game. This is with the expansion as well. So, you know, I like the, you know, I don't know if I like... Yeah, I like parts of the expansion, at least. So with the expansion, you can also have some animals and so on. And the really cool thing that makes this game stick out, and I think what's gotten me to keep enjoying this game, is that you're building your saloon in 3D. I can fast forward in video. Can we find a spot? Come on, can I find a good spot where I can show you? Okay, so I'm gonna pause it here. So up there, you will see that I put a tile on top of another tile. So that's the idea. You're building tiles on top of each other as a building, as a saloon. So you can have a second floor. And some tiles, some rooms, only want to be on the second floor. You can only place them on the second or third floor. And then you get to place a little roof on top of it as well. Ah, here we go. Here I'm doing it. And as you complete the tile by building, adding this little supply, these little brown cubes, then you're sort of getting a bonus as well when you complete the tile. And I have fun... Trivia here, a little bit of a fun trivia here, looking at the brown cubes. Some of those cubes in this video are actually poop. It's not actual poop, but it's poop from the game Sulkin, because I was filming this prototype with the expansion and I ran out of brown cubes. I needed another type of brown cube, so I pulled up my copy. No, not Sulkin, I'm stupid. It's Dungeon Pets. I pulled up my copy of Dungeon Pets, and in Dungeon Pets you have little brown wooden cubes to represent poop. So some of the building materials in this video is actually poop. That's a fun little trivia for you from my memory of YouTubing for 5 years. Yeah, cool game, Saloon Tycoon. I still want to play it. I still like it, but it does, you know, it's gone down. I'm not as excited about it anymore as I used to be. All right, then we go to number 90, another Euro board game. And this time I am going to remember. Come on. Oh, my preparations. Yeah, for the next video, for the next live stream, I will be better prepared. I set this up last night and I thought that it would keep... There we go. So, next one here I haven't made a video for, but it's New Frontiers, another Euro game. It's based basically on Race for the Galaxy, but this is the board game version of that. I prefer the board game version. Race for the Galaxy is not on my top 100. This game I really like for... Well, the base mechanic is fun. It's the same as it is in that one. What's going on here? And what it's doing, what you're doing is you're like, you're picking a phase. All of these games are the same. This Roll for the Galaxy and Jump Drive, they're all doing the same thing. So it's like, you're picking a phase that you want to activate. And then everyone gets to do that phase that player, all the phases that all the players together have activated. So you're trying to figure out what other people will pick as well. So like if I need to develop, I might not pick develop because I think you need to develop as well. So I might pick production or whatever. And then you are building up sort of you're exploring different planets thematically and you're developing on them. You're getting more sort of special abilities or items or functions. And then you're trying to score points and so on, find combos between, there's like, you could be militaristic and like conquer planets instead of, you know, what's called like exploring them and settle. Instead of settling the planet, you can conquer it sort of with military. And you're trying to find combos between your different planets that you're going for and your different technologies that you develop and so on. So there's a lot of fun stuff going on in this game. It looks amazing. I think this looks so good. I love these huge, it doesn't look so in this picture maybe, but they are huge, these circular tiles that you're placing around your board and they fit in there. And that sort of shapes and forms your galaxy or your part of the galaxy that you have explored. And then you have these technology. And I mean, there's just the shape of these as well. I think the production is so good because they like click together in a sense. Very, very, very good production in this one. So yeah, I can recommend you Frontiers, especially if you played Race for the Galaxy and you sort of really like it. People are complaining about Marco Polo. Yeah, I would expect that. Is New Frontiers also on BGA? Wow, then I need to play it there. I haven't been that much on BGA lately. I need to go to BGA more, I guess, if I'm sitting at home. Yeah, because this is a really fun game. All right, so that is New Frontiers. It was 87 last year, and now it's number 90. So it's really been, you know, it hasn't moved much at all. That's basically the same thing because there's new games added to list as well. So going down three steps is pretty basically keeping in position. Next up though, 89. Here we come to a game that also been in my top 10 back in the days. Star Wars Imperial Assault. And this is a thematic Star Wars game, you know, based on Descent. This tactical grid combat and rolling dice, getting special powers, all these different cards, and you're fighting the Empire. One player is playing as the Empire, which is my favorite to do. It's like a one versus all game. I played it a bunch as two players, and then the Rebel player controls multiple characters and so on. But I played it at four people, and I think maybe five even. That was when it was at best. Now, this could, you know, this has been dropping on the list every year. It's dropping because I don't play it, because it's so huge, it's taking up a bunch of my shelf space. I am considering selling it, but at the same time, I don't want to because I do like the game a lot. So I still own it and I have everything like painted and so on. Not everything, most of it is painted. Yeah, really cool game. I really like it, but there's a lot of like, it's a huge campaign game. It's a lot of setup time and so on. Now there is an app and the app has been out for years. The thing is though, when the app came out, I think it was almost the same day or maybe it was like the day before or the day after. In the same week, at least, when this app came out, so you could play solo against the app. Now, one thing then you can only play the Rebel. I always like playing the Empire more, so. But anyway, the same week it came out, I think I got Gloomhaven from Kickstarter. So that was, and this is years ago. So that was unfortunate. That meant that this, if otherwise I would probably have played this a bunch on the app. Or like not on the app, but with the assistant app. And then it would probably have stayed higher on my list. I don't know. I never got around to it though. I never got around to playing this against the app, which is a bit sad. But again, it's because I have AT-SD standing on my shelves. They're all spread out, different boxes all over the house, it feels like. So I need to gather everything together. I need to do that anyway if I'm going to sell it. But I mean, at some point I will get back to this game and give it a good run and probably love it again and, you know, get back into it, and it might, you know, be on the next year's list higher up. Who knows? Really good game. Star Wars Imperial Assault, and that was 39 last year. Yeah, so things are dropping down here, which means there's other things up there on the list, obviously. So yeah, we'll see what that is. Next up, we have a new game, and it's, I must say, it's hard to rank games compared to each other. Let me just say that. So ranking this game and saying that this game is one step higher than Star Wars Imperial Assault or Agricola or whatever, it's weird, I know. But that's how these lists go. So this is Saboteur. Saboteur is a small, small social deduction card game. And again, it's hard to rank these against each other, but I'm just looking at how much fun have I had with the game and how much do I want to play the game right now. This is a game I had so much fun with last year. We've been playing a bunch, of course, with my werewolf group, which some people you can see are on the side there. This is from a stream we did together. And yeah, it's social deduction. You're a little dwarf. You're building a tunnel. You're trying to get to the goal, but some of you are saboteurs and are trying to saboteur the whole thing. And it's so much fun. And there's so much lying and deceit. And especially, I would say, this is Board Game Arena, by the way. Especially, you can play the Saboteur 2, which I kind of clumped together. You can also play with expansion. But Saboteur 2, it's hard to say. Saboteur 2. It adds so much fun. It's like it adds more factions in a sense. Like in a social deduction game where you have one good side and some traitors. But in Saboteur 2, you have like two good sides that sort of have the same goal, but not really. And then you have a bunch of different on their own team people. So you have the, like, what is it? Like the gem guy, whatever he's called, the gem crystals. He doesn't care if you find the gold or not. He just wants you to place as many gems as possible on the map. So, you know, that if you're playing that character, you want to just prolong the game to get more cards out there, more tunnel cards. Because you keep playing these tunnel cards. And when you think someone is bad, you can break their stuff. You can play a card to break their lamp or break their little trolley or pickaxe. And if your stuff is broken, then you can't place tunnel cards. Then you need to fix them. And you might not have the right card to fix them. So you have to ask everyone else, like, oh, but I promise I'm good. Can you please fix my stuff? It's so much fun. These lovely people I played with as well. We had so much fun together playing Werewolf, obviously. But this is one we played a bunch as well from time to time. So I can really recommend it on Board Game Arena, Saboteur. Really good. And this was new on the list. This is a game that I don't think I would have had on my list before this whole, you know, sitting at home pandemic playing online thing happened. But that's how the list changed, right? The list adapts to what happens in the real life. So that was 88. Now let's go to 87. It was 83 last year, which means it basically haven't moved. And I haven't played it during this year, but I do want to play it again. This is a huge game called Rising Sun. Rising Sun from Simon. This is... I will say that Blood Rage has dropped off the list. Blood Rage was on the list last year, but it has dropped off. When I thought about it, I'd rather play Rising Sun. And I saw they are sort of similar in a sense, so I don't think I would get both play that much. Rising Sun, I would like to play again. It's these dudes on a map, they're fighting it out, really cool miniatures, really cool monsters and all that. And this has the same mechanic, really, as Race for the Galaxy or New Frontiers or Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is not in my top 500, I think. But anyway, it has the same mechanic, which is really cool. Like, you're selecting a face, really. The cool thing in this one, there's a twist to that here. So in this one, you can enter alliances. So you should play this with many people, by the way. So if you're like five players, you and I might be in an alliance. So when I pick my tile, it's almost like a little team play, like Concordia Venus, for example. But it's not just the team might break. You might backstab someone, which is something I usually don't like in games. But I like it in this one because it's an actual action. You select, I want to betray you. So it's in the open. Anyway. So when I select an action, I will get to do the thing on the action with a bonus. Everyone around the table will get to do that action, but you will also get that bonus because we're in an alliance together. So it's good to have an alliance. And then, well, why would you break it? Well, sometimes you might be doing too good, so I need to stop you, and because I only win on my own. There's no winning together with anyone else. So at some point you might betray each other and so on. But there's also like a penalty to that. So if you do it, then you know you will get punished. Really, really cool game. It's huge. This one here, I borrowed from a friend. I never owned this game. But this was with the playmat as well. You have that neoprene playmat. And yeah, really cool stuff. I don't know when I get to play this again. At some point, I hope I will though. Because Rising Sun is a cool one. So that was 87. Now let's go to a new Euro worker placement game. There's a new Euro worker placement game that I've gotten into the list actually, and it's another one from Uwe Rosenberg. This is Hallertau. So Hallertau made it into the list. Really enjoy this one. This is like a streamlined Agricola in some sense. I mean, it's not exactly the same thing, but it's very streamlined. Like, you're not building individual buildings. You're not like feeding your people like per worker and all that. Instead, everything is like sort of, well, basically streamlined into, well, you're developing your village or whatever. You're developing the village. So you're gathering resources here. You are placing cubes, workers, and then you're getting stuff, and then you're using that to improve, and then you get points. Sort of, but it's really fun the way you do it. And I like how there's a lot of card play in this one. So you pick up cards as you go. You start with some cards, but then you will get more cards as you go. These cards are like mini missions, like contracts, I guess you could call them in other games. So you're trying to fulfill that contract or that mission in order to get some benefit that gets you. You might be like, and some of them you don't even have to pay for. It might be like, oh, if you have 7 sheep, then you can just show this. Oh, I completed this. I have 7 sheep. And I might get some food or whatever out of that. Then I can slaughter the sheep later on if I want to, or use them for something. So yeah, really cool. Some of the cards are like end game just for points, but there's a lot of during the gameplay. You keep like playing cards. You almost try to chain them together, the effects. So by just playing and playing, you get more and more benefits from these cards. You're trying to pick up new cards. The worker placement part is really good as well. It's, as you can see here, there's like 3 different spots on each action, on each tile or part of the board. And the first time someone goes there, it costs you 1 worker. Next time it costs you 2, and the third time it costs you 3. So it gets more expensive. And at the end of the round, the workers don't come home, sort of. Everyone gets new workers. The older workers will, some of them will clear out, and then those spaces are free to be used again. So that's also different in this one. It's not that classic of I have my workers and I place them out. It's more like I'm activating actions in a sense. Again, streamlined. Alright, so Mikael is saying something was his favorite. What could that be? Is it Hallertau? Oh yeah, this is a 2020 release. Yeah, maybe it's a bit low, but this has a chance to climb. I only played it solo. I should mention that as well. I haven't played it with friends yet, so playing it multiplayer might make it go up on the list if I get the chance to do it before next year. We'll see. So that was a new one. That was Hallertau at 86. 85 is another new one. And again, comparing games is weird. This is a small game. If I can get it to load. It's basically a party game, I would say. Come on, Board Game Geek. There we go. All right, so A Fake Artist Goes to New York. This is an older game, but I learned about it. I played it just a few years ago, and then I played it a bunch online as well with friends. Again, the Werewolf group and all that. So A Fake Artist Goes to New York is a party game. It's like a drawing game. It's the only drawing game on my list. So in this one, everyone... Come on, what's going on with my internet here? Everyone knows what we're trying to draw, except for the fake artist, the saboteur, the traitor, the werewolf, whatever it would be. So, yeah. So everyone's like drawing something, and you're trying to figure out who the traitor is. And the traitor, or the fake artist, obviously, is trying to draw something that is so generic that they can get by, but not too generic, because then they might be spotted. And it's a super simple little game, but it's so much fun. I had such a blast with this one. I played this in real life as well. And yeah, really, really fun little party game. And the whole style of just... Like, you don't need to be good at drawing in this one. Most of the time, you're just drawing like a line or a few lines. So if you're good at it, I guess it helps maybe, but... It's not one of those, it's not Pictionary when you like people need to realize what is it you're drawing and all that. So yeah, I really enjoy this one. And it's, again, weird to say that this would be better than Hallertau or Rising Sun or whatever. But it's, yeah, it is what it is. Now, yeah, so this is new. Next up, we have one that has dropped from 51 to 84. It's a good game, though. It's just I haven't played it, and it's a campaign-style game. I don't think I will get back to it because I have played the campaign already. I played it both solo and on 2 players. And it is Near and Far. So this is Ryan Lockett's Near and Far. A really cool adventure story game. You're like basically Euro style building up your little party or like your character, and then you're like your sort of party of adventure, not adventures, like helpers. You have like helpers, you can have the dog, or you can have people helping you. And then you go out into the world, which is this really cool booklet that is the maps, and then you go around exploring, picking up stuff, building stuff, and you also end up getting into these like sort of story part where you open up the book and then you read a little bit of a story snippet to your, you know, and then you need to make a choice a lot of times. It's like choose your own adventure style in that sense. So I remember when me and Draco did this playthrough, I know, I think Draco met a cow or something, or a pig, something like that. And he could choose, did he want to eat the pig or the cow? Or did he want to, like, you know, give it food and take care of it or whatever? And Draco was hungry, he needed some food, so he ate the cow and he got some food out of that or whatever. I like that stuff. It's like this, yeah, you make your decisions, but then you have to stand by them. Because when you make your decisions, you also get, like, a keyword. And that means that later on, oh, that's some zooming in here. This is an old video, I'm sorry. Later on, you might find, that's a huge hand, you might meet someone down the road or something might happen. And depending on if you have that keyword, which means you made a choice earlier, that will affect whatever happens next. So you can befriend someone and they will come to help you later on, or you piss someone off and they will, you know, be angry at you later off. So really cool, near and far. Now I have, hey Nick, yeah, Draco ate the pig or cow, I don't know. At least it wasn't a goat. On my, in the room here, I have Sleeping Gods. I got Sleeping Gods with the expansion as well, recently. So that's something I will unbox and play as well, and on the I will play it on the channel and everything. Sleeping Gods is the follow-up to this, really. Like, some similarities. It's sort of the same world, I think. Same universe in this game. Like, in Above and Below before that, which I haven't played, by the way. And in Sleeping Gods, where you have these really cool, like, fantasy characters, but they're not classic generic fantasy. It's like Ryan Lockett made his own little world with his own, like, races of different beings. So, yeah, I look forward to that. I really enjoy Near and Far when I play the campaign. Can really recommend it. Right, so Near and Far at 84. At 83, we have the last new one on the list for today. This is a small game again. And Board Game Geek needs to load. So this is a game that I played hundreds and hundreds of times last year on my phone. I did play it in real life as well, though, so it kind of qualifies here. So this is Cartographers. Cartographers is a roll and write. Role Player Tale, as it's called, is in some way, I think, building on the Role Player, right? So Cartographers is sort of like a tile layer. I need to update the page twice for some reason. It's like a tile layer in a sense, but you, instead of putting out tiles, you're drawing. So you're making a little map and with different shapes like this. This is someone that is good at drawing. I wouldn't do it this well. But so you're putting these little forests and villages and fields and, you know, everything together, like in Tetris shapes. And then it also has a variable scoring system. So some of the rounds you might need to build long stretches, some of the rounds you want to surround the water, all that classic stuff that you could expect to get the most points. It's really fun, it's really addictive, especially there's an app for your phone where you can play solo or play by yourself. It's really addictive, and it also has a cool thing in the app there that every week it changes the mission, and that is like a leaderboard. So I've been on that, I've been on the top of that leaderboard multiple times where I, you know, because I played it so much that I got pretty good at it. So like, oh, it's Monday, you know, it's exciting because on Monday they get a new goal going, and then, oh, okay, it's this goal, and then you got to figure out how that works, and you got to play and play and play so you get on the leaderboard. But then it's a digital game, of course. You can play this in physical form where you have, you're sitting and drawing on the thing. You don't need to draw like actual houses. I just did, like, you know, brown, because that's a brown area. So depending on how good you are at drawing. Really cool roll and write. I think, well, it's not my favorite roll and write, but it's my number two, I think, on the list. So Cartographers, new for this year at 83. At 82, here's a game that actually climbed for once. We're going to start seeing those as well. So this was my number 100 last year. And now it's 82. This is Wingspan. Another game from StoneMire Games. Wingspan has climbed almost 20 spots on my list. I haven't even played it in physical form since then. I haven't played the expansions, which I should do. That's something I really need to do because I really enjoy the game. But I played it a bunch on Steam. I played it a bunch digitally. I mean, that's the time right now. You know, I played a lot of games digitally, and that's fine. You know, that's how it has to be right now. So Wingspan, oh, how should I describe this? Well, basically it's a hand management game in its sense, because you have, and it's very tight. It's very tight. You just have a few cards in your hand. You need to decide how to use them, how to play them. You're trying to gather, you know, food in order to put your birds in their habitat. And it's so lovely. It just looks so lovely and everything, you know, and it's like realistic as well. You can read a little bit about the birds on there. Now, something I haven't tried, I know Andreas has. Andreas, I know you have done this where you have like, there's an actual app. It's not for Wingspan. I think it's just a general like bird, people that are into birds app. And you can hold it with your phone and the camera, and you can look at a scan, scan a card, or look at a card, and you will get to hear the how that bird actually sounds, you know, the bird song. That's really cool. So you can do that while you play Wingspan, and even more immersion, right? I played this a bunch on Steam. It's so good on Steam. I think it's. I did a. I didn't I do a top 10 Steam implementations of board games list? I think I have. Like Terraforming Mars and Gloomhaven and what. I think I've done that. I don't remember if I've done that video. I think I did that last year. I've done like over 1,300 videos by now, and I'm getting old, so I don't remember. But this should be high up there. I did that list before this came out on Steam. Because it's so good. It's amazing how they made the digital implementation. There's like music, there's like atmosphere, and the artwork, the graphic is amazing. You even have, I don't know if it's Elizabeth Hargrave, I don't know, I don't think so. There's a woman reading, like when you play this little blue jay, you will hear her reading and narrating and telling us a little about the blue jay. It's so cool. Really, really good implementation. And I mean, the board game itself is awesome as well. I love those little eggs. And again, a little bit of fun trivia. I will do this from time to time because it's fun. In the, hey Graham, in the playthrough I did for this, I did a two-player here with Draco, but I also did solo playthroughs. In my solo playthrough, I went to the store and actually bought a little candy egg, a little white one that kind of looks like the one in the game. I put it in the bin with the other plastic eggs, and then during the playthrough I just picked it up and ate it. And I thought that people would react, that I would get comments or whatever, that people would see that. I don't think anyone realized it. And the thing was, I wasn't on camera though. I took it, like you can see it from this angle. I took it, and you might hear me crunching. It would have been more effectful if you actually saw me put it in my mouth, but I thought that was a fun little twist. I don't usually do those little things in my videos, but in this one I just got the idea that they really look like candy eggs, right? So I had to do that. So that's some fun trivia for you. All right, so hey Alex, yeah, werewolf. No, I'm not gonna play werewolf tonight, sorry. All right, so anyway, let's get going here. That was Wingspan, who's actually gone up from 100 to 82 on the list. So now we go to 81. Still have a ways to go here. It's a long list and it's a long video, but that's what it is. But I'm clumping them together like this. It's fine. It's fine. Let's refresh Board Game Geek. Come on, Board Game Geek. I need you today. Well, I watch Board Game Geek every day almost, but I especially today. Here we go. Next one here is Whitehall Mystery. It's 81. It was 81 last year, so it's in the exact same spot, which in a sense means that it has moved upright. Like just mathematically. Since it's in the same spot and I have added games, this has moved up, you can say that. This is a really fun, what's it called? Hidden movement, like one versus many. So one player is playing as Jack the Ripper. You're running around, it's a small game. You're running around, and there's a bunch of version of this, I think, with like Jack and whatnot. I only play this one, I should play the other ones. But this is like you're running around London, for some reason, you're putting up body parts. It's kind of weird. I don't know why Jack the Ripper wants to spread them out, but he wants to. So you're going around, and if you manage to place all the, what, four, I think it is, four body parts in the four different districts, then you win before the other players are playing the cops. They are trying to catch up to you. So they are like deducing where you could have been and where you could have moved. So that's fun. I like that part of the game, but I also like the one where it's hidden movement. I'm trying to out-trick the other players. I remember a game I played of this when I had so much fun. I was the Jack the Ripper. I was like basically I was going behind the cops all the time. So they were like going and like, oh well, he hasn't been here, and I was like right behind them, and they didn't know. So much fun in this game. I remember even sometimes I wasn't like going straight for the win because I had so much fun just running around and trying to trick my friends and confuse them. Yeah, I really enjoy this one a lot. I mean, I like this kind of games. I like Fury of Dracula. It's not in my top 100 either anymore. Just like the, what's the other one? Can't recall the name of the other one. I like this like hidden movement. I should play more games like this. I have one game coming to me in the mail. It's called, I don't remember. It's called like MGT2 or something like that. M2GT, which is a hidden movement game that I will try to get my friends to play with me because I really enjoy these kind of games, one versus all. Yeah, Whitehall Mystery. It's in the same spot. Well, it sort of got up. So here's one that has dropped down. And it's crazy that I haven't made a video for this game because I played it so, so much. I don't know why I never made a video for this one. It's really ugly, though. It's one of those really ugly games that I still like. Come on, Board Game Geek. This is kind of killing the tempo here. There we go. Kingdom Builder. Kingdom Builder is an old game. It's super ugly. It's really looks really generic, Euro, whatever. It doesn't look good at all, but I love it. And this has fallen, though. I must say, this has fallen from 33 to 80, so that's a huge drop. But the thing is, a year ago, I played this every day. So that's why it was number 33. I played it all the time on BGA, and I had such a blast with it. It has fallen because I got a little bit bored out of it. But then I must say, I think I played it 400 times in a year on BGA. So, you know, give me some slack there. because there's so, just so much you can do. I wish they would add expansions on BGA, because then I would get back to it again. I played it the other day, though. I play it like once a month or whatever. I don't try to compete on the ladders anymore like I used to do. But it's really cool. It's just basically like placing out houses on your turn. You draw a card. You have no choice. You just have to place them on that kind of terrain. But there's a lot of strategy and tactical decisions involved in that, because depending on how you place them, then that determines how you can place on the next turn. And every time you play, you also get different goals, which, again, I got tired of those goals. I need more. I need the expansions on BGA. Okay, wait, I'm just going to pause a little bit. Bjorn is saying here that Letters from Whitechapel is better. I need to play that one because I really like Whitehall Mystery. Yeah. I really need to. Nick is saying that he's seen me eat so many game components, he doesn't pay attention anymore. That's true, I guess. I see what you're coming from, Nick. Yeah, so Kingdom Builder, awesome game. You got to play it. I mean, it looks so... If you're getting into the hobby now, or if you missed this one, you might look at it just like I did and see like, what is this? It looks bland and boring. It's very abstract as well. I'm usually not a big fan of abstract games, but for some reason this just clicks with me. I just enjoy this so much. So I can really recommend Kingdom Builder. Next up, we have a game that I haven't played in a good while, but I do enjoy it a lot. This is Gizmos. Gizmos is a... What should I say? This is pure engine building, which is another game mechanic that I do enjoy a lot. I like it in other games, like a part of the game. In this one, it's basically everything you do. So you're picking up cute components. You're picking up these plastic marbles from the thing there, and you can't really see what's coming except for those you see in the tray. And then you're using those to buy different parts for your gizmo, for your machine or your sister or robot or whatever. And as you keep building this up more and more, they will start triggering each other. So it could be that you build something that says that every time you use red balls or, you know, marbles to do something, then you also get a blue. And then you have something that says every time you get a blue, you also get to do this and that, and you get points. And it's so crazy. By the time the game ends, it's not a long game, it's like 40 minutes or something. By the time the game ends, you have so cool combos going. Everything is like comboing with each other, and it's like triggering each other. It's so cool. Really enjoy Gizmos. This was 91, so this has gone up without me playing it, which is I think an effect of me thinking about games and looking at games and looking at my old videos and be like, yeah, I really want to play this one. I really want to play this soon. So this is something I need to get on the table soon. Gizmos, really, really cool game. Oh, I need to take a breather as well. Next up is another little cute little, you know, game. Push Your Luck in this case. This is the Quacks of Quedlinburg coming in at 78. This was 65 last year, so it has dropped a little bit, but, you know, I haven't played it and so on. This is my solo playthrough as well. It's like a fan-made solo. It doesn't have solo mode in the actual box. There's also expansions for Quacks that I haven't played. There's, I think, two out that I haven't tried. There's too many games. Yeah, I don't get to play everything I would like to, but the base thing here is really fun. It's a bag builder. You're putting these tokens in your bag, you're building it up, then you're drawing tokens, and then you can push your luck. Like, how far do you want to keep going on this little circle, right? The longer you go, the more rewards you get, but you might also bust, and if you bust, you don't get, like, the points and so on. Really fun game, and really good solo as well. The solo mode worked great. I mean, it was basically... I mean, what you do in the game, you're not really... there's not that much interaction with the other players anyway, right? It works perfectly as solo. And the way I like to play this, though, multiplayer, is I like it so that everyone picks something, you put it out, and then you reveal, because that way you can sort of push, like, tease the other one, or, like, taunt your opponents to, like, oh, do you want to keep going? Do you want to keep going? Do you want to stop? And then you might, you know, stop yourself. You're trying to trick them into keep going so they bust. Really cute, cool game here. Oh, this is actually not a solo video, by the way. I have a solo video. This is the one, two-player with Draco, obviously. But I really like the components in this one as well. Really cool components. Just that little touch. When you do a cardboard piece and you make it look like a book that is open like that, that's just so good. I love the art and the layout of the game. And also the cauldron itself, you know. Yeah. And the flask is like a flask-shaped cardboard piece. Yeah, so cool. Quacks of Quedlinburg. I do need to get back and play this soon. I need to play the expansions as well. Next up is another game that's gone up, mostly because, not that I played it, but I'm thinking about it and I want to play it. And this is the Oracle of Delphi. So this is from Stefan Feld as well. This is Stefan Feld's weird game. Stefan Feld usually makes games sort of like Trajan, like, you know, point salad style games. This is instead a racing game where you're trying to satisfy... whatever it's called, Zeus, and you have a bunch of different missions you're trying to do, and whoever is completed all their tasks first is the winner. So you're sailing around in this Greek island world, and you're, you know, this is like random how it gets put together, and you're trying to pick up stuff, deliver stuff. This might be my favorite pick up and deliver game in a sense. And there's also a bunch of, like, you need to fight this monster, so then you need to have a certain tile in order to fight it. Hey, the good guy is here, Robert Caesar. Yeah, and so it's really cool. It has a lot of cool pieces and features in it. Now, the main thing that makes this game stay on the list, even though I haven't played it, but I feel like I want to, I still have it in my collection. The main thing is this, it's the board. It's such a cool system. Again, sort of like Trajan, you have this rondel, six different spaces, six different actions and the different colors, and you're rolling dice, and then the dice have, of course, six different sides to them. So depending on which side you get, you will place that, you will activate a certain action. But then you can also pay whatever it's called. You can pay your resource to move. So like the workers in Castle Bergen or whatever, you can manipulate the dice in order to do a certain thing that you need to do right now. You can also use cards to do actions. So that mechanic is so good. I really like that. It's so cool. And it's also cool how you have this little bunch of different gods, Greek gods, that you sort of build up. And then when they are maxed out, they can give you a special power. But then they drop down to the bottom. You have to start building them up again. Yeah, really cool game. I think this has been overlooked a bit. I don't think everyone out there has played this one. Oracle of Delphi. I really recommend it. Hey, Gro, there's a lot of werewolf players in here now that wants me to come play werewolf, but I'm not gonna end my once in a year live, you know, top 100 list to do that. I'm sorry. So then we have Glass Road coming in, the last game of today, 76 Glass Road. It was 82 last year, so it has gone up. I don't have a video for this. I don't know why. Should have that, because it's a great game. So Glass Road, another Uwe Rosenberg game. Was it three Uwe games on the first 25 here today? I think so, yeah. And there's might be more, yeah, there's more coming on the list as well. I really like Uwe Rosenberg's designs. So Glass Road here, this is a game that I love and hate at the same time, in a sense. Well, like, when I play it, I have fun, but at the same time, it's also agonizing, which doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing when it comes to board game, right? It's the feeling of anxiety or like agonizing decisions, that's often a good thing in a Euro game. And in Glass Road, you get that. It's also a little bit hard for me to grab sometimes how this resource wheel works, even though I played it a bunch of times, I think. But okay, let's see if here's a picture of it. So I'll try to say this in words, it's not that easy. But basically, you have resources on the wheel, so you might have like coal and sand or whatever. when you get enough amount of those resources, you automatically make glass, and then you lose those resources, but then you get glass. Then you can use the glass in order to build buildings and whatnot to get score points and all that. You have your little player board that you build on. But this resource wheel really is tricky for my brain to understand how it works all the time, and like how to maximize it and how to make it work. So yeah, it's really cool though. Really, really enjoy Glass Road. The main thing that I love about Glass Road is not the resource wheel. It is the cards, the action selection system, how you have cards. So everyone has the same, or no, not the same. Everyone has the same cards in their personal decks. You draw. You look at all your cards. You can access all your cards. You pick five of them that you want to have active for the round. Then, when it's your turn, you take one of those five cards and you place it down and you activate it. When that happens, usually there's two. Well, there all the time. There's two different actions on that card. So yeah, I'm also bad at it, Mika, but I enjoy it. So you have two actions on the card. So it's my turn, I'm taking one of my five, I'm placing it down, I want to pick up wood twice, I will get double wood, two wood, whatever, or four, maybe that's. Then everyone else around the table, if they, among those five cards that they pick before the round, if they have the woodcutter, they can place it down, and all of a sudden they will get to do their action on my turn, and I will only get one half of the cards. I will only do the wood action once. They will get to do the other one. And so in total, I will only get three actions per round. So three out of the five cards I get to play, but I have two more, and I'm hoping that you picked one of those so that I can leech on your turn, which will benefit me and it will also hurt you. It's such a cool system. It's so much fun, and you're sitting there looking like, oh, I see that Nick over there, he really needs to feed his goat. He needs to get some wheat. So maybe I'm not going to play the wheat card. I'm going to let him play it, and I'm going to tag along. Really fun card play system. So that is the last game for today. That is Glass Road, and this has moved up a little bit. I don't know why, really. I would say it's in the same spot for me, really. This movement is a bit tricky, since there's 100 games, and they move around, this new game coming in. Sometimes I feel like few placements up or down at this stage doesn't matter that much. In the top 10, though, in the top 20, I would say I have spent more energy and thought and time into every single position. So if a game has moved up from 12 to 9, then that's, you know, that sort of means more than 82 to 76, which I don't know if that's fair to the list, but it is what it is. I can't spend too many hours on this, I guess. I've been sitting around so agonizing, like, oh, should this go up, should this go down, should I have that there? And I've been like puzzling back and forth and back and forth in my Excel document forever, and I finally decided on this. So Glass Road, really good one. I hope you have enjoyed watching this. If you're watching this afterwards, tell me in the comment section what you thought about my game picks. What are your favorite games? What would you put on your 100 to 76? Do you think I made good selections? Do you think I'm crazy for some selections? So it's fine. I just want to hear your thoughts, because it's always fun to you know, have a chat with other board gamers about their favorite games. There's so many good games. As I said, there's a lot of games that could have been on the list that are like in the between top 200 and 100 that I still would like to play any day, really. All right, yeah, thank you so much to everyone who's been watching. I've been talking straight a lot for over an hour straight, so I need to take a little breather here, and I'll be back in a week. So next Sunday, same time, same place. You can see the, 76 to 51 is the next segment. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the channel so you will get notifications from YouTube when I post new videos so you don't miss anything. And also, if you enjoy what we're creating here on the channel, I would appreciate if you press the little thumbs up button down there. Thumbs up the video. That always helps with the YouTube algorithm and all that stupid stuff. So thank you everyone who's been watching live and so on. And have a great evening, morning, or whenever you're watching. Take care. Bye-bye.